3 hours, the courage, the confusion, the cost involved in all these events. And now we come to what looks at first as the conclusion. The conclusion is a funny word, for how do you know? It's been said it'll be all right in the end, but if it's not all right, then it's not the end. John chose to use the word finished. That also doesn't mean conclusion. What it does actually feel is completion. What is it that was complete when Jesus died? Part of what's complete is a redemption of all that's gone before, not just in the few days, weeks, years before the events we commemorate today, but all the befores of the world. Focused in, these friends, this small place on the face of our planet, the redemption of the confusion, the redemption of the courage which can lead to recklessness or bravery, the redemption of all that's been cost, that's been paid, that's been laid aside on the sense on the face of others. Jesus said, "It is concluded." As far back as perhaps we could go, Jesus with his people, the Jews, had been waiting to be rescued from oppressors, to know the freedom into which the people of God were born and were directed. The struggle for freedom from oppression has not been concluded for God's people. God's people continue to be oppressed and oppress others. There continues to be slavery in our own land, slavery in our world. The oppression that the people of the Jews felt has not been concluded. Injustice has not been concluded. There is still injustice in our own land, in our world, all over the world, in fact. That's not been concluded either. There's disaster, human heartbreak, which also has not been concluded. It's everywhere, in our nation, and in the pages of our newspapers, on the television and radio. That human pain has not been concluded, nor perhaps we might say and claim and believe will it ever be. That's why to say that it is finished is not the best word, nor that it is concluded. But if we think of completion, then perhaps we'll ask different questions. What is completed through the death of Jesus? We know that this is not the end, but we don't race ahead to 3 days since. Today, Jesus dies. It is completed. He's buried. And his friends simply go home. The Good Friday for them was just like any other day. It was just like this morning when we gathered at 10 o'clock, when we were outside for our first Good Friday observance. Cars driving past, people walking past, some looking interested, some haven't got a clue. That Good Friday was just like this one, where most people who would have looked on at the scenes that we've just heard about didn't have any idea what was going on. Crucifixion was a public spectacle. It happened regularly. People turned out to watch just like they did in our own country until fairly recently in human history. What was different about this one was the presence of the Jews. A fairly persecuted minority who kept themselves to themselves in their own parts of the city, with their own system of law, with their own system of punishment. And something about this community, about which many were suspicious, broke out. So it may well have drawn far more of the crowds. It certainly drew far more of the Jews. And as they all looked on together, they didn't have a shared past. But Jesus' people did have a past, that past they were waiting for, when there would be some conclusion to all of their pain, to all the groanings of human history. But they didn't hear Jesus say that it's concluded. He heard them say that it's completed. And as time went on and the gospel narratives began to be written, and Paul's letters to the churches began to be written, and the story of the good news of God in Christ spread like wildfire, so something of the understanding of what completion might mean also spread. The great love that God has for the world, that's seen in creation and in sustaining. The great love that God had for the world in giving his law, gracious ways that people could live well, to stay well, to be distinctive in the midst of all the other people, to learn to really, truly have God as their God so that they would be his people. The completion of the promise of the Messiah, the one who would lead the people to freedom. God had, in their past, launched initiative after initiative to bring them back to himself, to encourage in them the heart of love, in which image they were created. And they just couldn't do it. So in Messiah, God took on a human flesh to show us by example, to get in, if you like, with the game, not to even just stand alongside the pitch, but to be part of the match, to show us by example what love is truly like. It's the love that refused to hate, the love that lived with and bore confusion, the love which courageously stood up for and did what's right, the love which paid the price, bore the cost, when we couldn't bear it ourselves. When Jesus died for him, it was completed, what God had called him to do. But for his friends, and for all who watched, having no idea what was going on, it was not all right. It wasn't the end. The end has not yet come. The end comes when finally Jesus returns again. We enter into again this mystery of the completion of God's service in Christ of others. That love which bore the cost, which bore the pain of our sin, that love which refused to hate, the love which entrusted his mother to his friend, the love which forgave those who did what they did. It is finished, Jesus said, but it's not the end. The end is that great love of God, which we all can know, which we all can show and which continues to call us forward as we, with Jesus' friends, sit and wait in sadness and in confusion, praying for the courage to go on, and when the cost feels heavy, to know that Jesus himself bears it for us. That love, that courage, that never changes. Amen.